Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
How are we doing? Pretty good? It's nice out today. It's muggy. Millie, my daughter, goes, I really hate weather like this. I was like, yeah, I'd rather this than the cold. Today I'm going to be talking to you guys about tending to the oil of our lives. But before I do that, I want to pray. And I just want to thank you guys for giving us the space to come and share. This really does feel like family away from family. We're grateful for this house to Pastor Tom and his whole family. And just a little bit about us, for those of you that don't know, my name is Hannah Howell. My husband is Nathan Howell. We've been married for 13 years, almost 13 years this August. And we have two kids. We have a daughter whose name is Millie. She's 11 years old. And our son, Jeremiah. And we live up in and around the Canton area. We serve in a ministry up there called Reach One, which is really just focused on the next generation. It's a parachurch ministry that comes alongside churches and does worship nights and just creates spaces for young people to encounter Jesus and understand who they are in Christ. Because how many of us know that's extremely important? It's important that we understand how God sees us and what he says about us, because it directs our life. Amen? Amen. So I'm going to pray and then I'll jump in to my message. Jesus, I thank you. I thank you for this space. I thank you for your presence. I thank you that you are Emmanuel, God, with us. That no matter what we walked into this space with, that you are moving on our behalf, that you are moving in our lives, that you are comforter, that you are provider, that you are the one who does exceedingly and abundantly more than we could possibly ask or think. And so I ask that this morning you would open our hearts to what it is that you have for us, that you would cover my words, and that every word that is not of you, Father, let it fall to the ground, but the words that are from you, let it fall on good soil. I ask that we would receive all that you have for us this morning, that if we've come in empty, God, let us leave filled. If we've come in hurting, let us leave whole. If we've come in with needs, God, let us know that you truly are our provider. Jesus, we trust you and we give you this service. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So I'm going to be reading out of Matthew 25. This is a prophetic parable that you guys have probably heard before if you've been around the church for any amount of time. But it's Matthew 25, starting in verse 1. It says, at that time, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Five of them were foolish and five of them were wise. The foolish ones took their lamps but did not take any oil with them. The wise ones, however, took oil in their jars along with their lamps. The bridegroom was a long time in coming, and they all became drowsy and fell asleep. At midnight, the cry rang out, "Here's the bridegroom. Come out to meet him." Then all the 10 virgins woke up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish ones said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil. Our lamps are going out." "No," they replied. "There may not be enough for both of us and you. Instead, go to those who sell oil and buy some for yourselves." But while they were on their way to buy the oil, the bridegroom arrived. The virgins who were ready went in with him to the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the others also came. "Lord, Lord," they said, "open the door for us." But he replied, "Truly I tell you, I don't know you. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour." And so in this chapter, what we're seeing is Jesus is talking and he's presenting a series of prophetic parables. And he's talking to his disciples because he knows that he's getting ready to go to the cross. He knows that he's getting ready to die and to resurrect again. And so he's giving his disciples things that will benefit their life, that will help them understand the mindsets that they should have, the way that they should live, and how they should carry themselves. And so he presents two different things in this chapter. He gives us a set of wise virgins and then a set of unwise virgins. When we take back this word, when we take back this word foolish back to the original language, it actually means to be dull or to be sluggish. And so he's presenting these two different ones, one set which is dull and sluggish, and then another set who are ready, who are prepared. But what I love in this is the only difference between these two sets, they both fell asleep. When they woke up, they both trimmed their wicks, and they all brought their lamps. What is the one thing that was missing between the two that made one set wise and one set foolish? It was the oil. And when we look at oil in Scripture, what it tends to represent is the Holy Spirit. And so what Jesus is doing in this moment is he's painting a picture of a group of ladies, one of which has tended to the Holy Spirit in their life and one of which who has not. And as I was preparing for my message today, I felt like the Lord said that it is time that we ready ourselves, church. That whether we realize it or not, we are living in a day and time and an hour where tomorrow is not promised. We do not know what lies ahead, and are we tending to the oil of our life? Are we walking with the Holy Spirit? Because here's the thing, is that they all had their lamps. They all had function. How many of us know what function looks like in church, in Christianity? It looks like we go to church, we read our Bibles, we check off the checklist, but then we do it without the Holy Spirit. The one who helps us, who guides us, who sustains us, who strengthens us in and through every single season. We need the Holy Spirit. Just as a lamp can't burn without oil, you and I cannot properly function without the Holy Spirit. We need to stay in a place of ongoing communion with him. And so what the enemy loves to do is he comes in to our life and he creates distractions. Because he understands that our life is but a breath and we must rid it all of distractions in order to stay vigilant in our faith. And so the enemy comes in and he begins to distract us with different things. We all have cell phones, right? How many of you guys have social media? How easy is it to open up our social media and before we know it, we've scrolled for 2 hours? I've done it with TikTok before where I'm like, where'd all the time go? I have no time today. Oh, that's because I spent so much time on TikTok. Or maybe it's Facebook. Or we get off of a hard day at work and we get home and we start to watch TV shows. We're frustrated, we're overwhelmed, life is hard, and we begin to numb it. And before we know it, we're numbing ourselves and we're numbing ourselves. Or maybe for you, it looks like striving for success. How many know that good things can also become bad things when they become idols in our life? And I believe as the American church, whether we realize it or not, we're sleepy and we're sluggish. Because we live in a culture that inundates us with all of these things. There's so much technology. There's so many things that are taking our eyes and catching our gaze. I can remember when I went to Thailand. I went on a missions trip back in 2018. And it was everywhere you turned, it was idol set up. Like you would go into town square and there was this big thing that they worshiped, this big idol. You would go to outside of a grocery store and at the end there would be this little idol set up and they would put offerings to it. Everywhere you turned. And I can remember thinking, oh my goodness, there's so much darkness here. Like everywhere I look, there's idols. And the missionary said, you don't realize it, but America's the same way. She said, you guys are surrounded by idols that bring you comfort instead of leaning on the Holy Spirit. And what are those idols? It's anything that takes our attention and our affection more than the Lord. And so if I were to play your life before you, what has you most? Is it Jesus or is it your cell phone? Is it Jesus or is it your TV? Is it Jesus or is it your work? And I'm not saying that these things are bad. I'm not telling you that we should give away our cell phones and get rid of our televisions and that we should do these things. I'm saying that he has to matter most because he is coming back. And I used to not like messages like this. How many of you guys grew up in churches where you got saved every Sunday? That was my reality. I grew up in, and I went to the altar and was like, Lord, if there's anything, just like make sure that we're good. I was terrified of the rapture. In fact, when I first married Nathan, if our house got too quiet, I'd be like, are you here? Because I was terrified. Or if I was in the grocery store growing up as a kid and I couldn't find my mom, I was convinced the rapture happened and I was left behind. Right? I'm a 90s kid who grew up with the Left Behind series. I was terrified of it. And so I didn't like messages that talked about readying ourselves because it felt like we were fearing people into the kingdom. That if I made you afraid enough of life without the Lord, then you would say yes to him. Or you would rid yourself of things. And see, I don't believe that that's sustainable. I believe what sustains you is love. It's understanding and being in relationship with him. But I think what we've done is we swung to the opposite pendulum. And we shy away from saying things like this in church because we want comfort. But the truth is that Jesus never promised us a life of comfort. He promised us the Comforter. He promised us the Holy Spirit, the one who would come and help us in moments where we couldn't do it on our own. Because whether we realize it or not, it's the small foxes that spoil the vine. It's the little things, the little moments where we compromise. Where we say, well, you know what? I know that this is what I should do, but I'm just going to do this anyway. I know that I should create time for God. I know that I really shouldn't be doing this, but that's not comfort for me, so I'm going to chase my comfort. And we're dulling our senses. And we're putting ourselves in unwise positions. You know why I think that we have a generation that is the most anxiety, suicidal-driven generation? It's because we have a generation that can wake up in the morning and immediately dull their senses. We see it all the time in the ministry that we're a part of. They go into church, into schools, and they do assemblies, and they'll ask the whole room, how many of you guys have had suicidal ideations in the last year, in the last 6 months? And it's amazing how over 50% of these kids will raise their hands. And then we wonder why that's going on. It's because we're not modeling what it looks like to be connected, what it looks like to walk with the Holy Spirit. We cannot do this life without him. We can't. You know, I wasn't planning to talk about this, but I've went through one of the hardest seasons of my entire life over the last 4 months. We pray for healing. We believe in healing. It is a core part of our ministry and what we do. And my mom, a little over a month ago, passed away from pancreatic cancer. And what I learned walking through this, she got diagnosed in January, and within 3.5 months, we said goodbye to her. And what I realized is that we don't know what tomorrow holds. We really don't. We don't. I can remember sitting across from my mom, and the one thing that she said is, she said, I really thought I had more time. She wasn't afraid of death. She wasn't afraid of, she knew where she was going. She thought she had more time. She thought she had more time to accomplish things. But friends, tomorrow is not promised. We don't know what it holds. And we need him. We need him. In this moment, just 3 days ago, I said, Lord, I don't have what it takes to preach right now. I'm going to be real with you guys. I've had so much sadness that I'm like, Lord, how do I get up and tell a room of people to trust in you when my trust is being shaken? Well, I do that because I have the Holy Spirit, because he comes and he fills every empty space. And he gives us strength. See, the closer that we get to the Holy Spirit, the more that we realize that our weakness is our strength. Then when we are put through the fire and we are in situations that we don't know how to get through, that it is walking with him that we find a pathway, that we find a way through. And so how do we do this? Well, one, we pay attention to what we feed our soul with. There's studies that show, how many of you know, if you eat one cookie, you're tempted to eat 10 more? Have you ever been that before? Like, that's me, literally. There's these little containers of cookies that you can get from Costco. They're like the mini ones. And I can go ham on those. Like, it's terrible. Like, they last 2 days in our house because before I know it, I'll keep going back and I'll grab one and then I'll grab one and then I'll grab another one. And I'm like, how did we eat through this entire container? Well, because you ate one every 5 minutes, Hannah. And what studies have shown is that it is, when we eat sugar, it's actually a dopamine hit that we get. And so then our brain goes, I want that dopamine hit again. And so then we begin to crave it. And so what we eat becomes a craving. And when it becomes a craving, before we know it, it can turn into a habit. And then it becomes a pathway in our brain that every single time we go through something, we're like, oh, I want this thing, which is how we can end up eating our feelings. Because there's a pathway in our brain that we form that says that this thing provides me comfort. It's the same thing with our phones. It's the same thing with social media. When we open it up, we get that dopamine hit. And then it becomes a pathway that we want to return back to. There's science that shows us this. Which is why we have to renew our mind, which is the beauty of it. If you ever have time to take a psychology class and then take it back to scripture, it is amazing how much all of it lines up. That we have to renew our minds. We talk to our kids about our ear gates and our eye gates. And when there's something that we don't want them to watch or we don't want them to see, and they don't understand why, because my friends are able to watch it, why can't I do this? Or we're getting into the age where social media is becoming a thing. And why can't I have social media? Well, because you live in our house, but also because it is your ear gates and your eye gates matter. What you feed your soul with, your soul will crave. And so if I'm constantly turning to all of these things other than the Lord, then what I will find is that I will crave those things more than him. And what happens is just like if you went without food, if I told you to go 3 days without food, what would begin to happen? You get agitated. You'd get bothered. You'd start to hurt. Well, it's the same thing with the Lord. When we go days on end without spending time with him, well, what begins to happen? We begin to get impatient. We start to not be kind. All the fruit of the Spirit. We lose joy. See, those things, the reason why we're not happy in situations is because we're disconnected from him. Because peace that passes all understanding, true joy, the Bible says that the joy of the Lord is our strength. Strength is found in his joy. Your joy is found in his joy. How do you have a joy that doesn't make sense to the world? By being connected to him. By him being the one who sustains you. And so what you take in, you will crave. And so how do we live this out? We live it out by tending to our walk with the Lord. Basic disciplines, and if you've heard me speak, you've probably heard me say this a lot, that it is through reading our Bible, prayer, biblical community, but not because of the function, right? Because when we look at this parable that Jesus presents us, the five foolish virgins had function. They had their lamps. They were smart enough to cut their wicks to know that they needed to, because what happens if they don't cut their wicks? They're burned through oil faster. They understood the function of it. And so you can do all of these things, but if you don't have the Holy Spirit in the midst of that, then it won't sustain you. But you still have to have the disciplines. Does that make sense? You need the disciplines with Holy Spirit. And there's something that happens that when we begin to actually let the Lord be the bread of our life, that we understand that when we come to him, when we come to his word, it is like feeding our soul. And that when we feed our soul, we will have something that we couldn't otherwise have. And I really feel this in my heart, and I hope it's okay for me to go here with you guys. It is a scary place to be in when you have function without oil. You know why? Because you have a form of godliness that lacks power, and it's easy to deceive yourself. And this is the part that we often shy away from, but it's true. That I can do all the right things, that there is a scripture where Jesus talks about this, The many will come to me on that day and they will say, Lord, Lord, I did this in your name and I did that. I cast out demons. I did all of these things. Let's equate it to today. I went to Bible study. I read my Bible faithfully every single morning. I prayed to you. I went out and I ministered in the streets for you. And he'll say, depart from me. I never knew you, you workers of iniquity. When we take that word new back to the original language, it's the same word that's used in Genesis when it says that a husband knows his wife. What is Jesus saying in this passage? He's saying, I should have you in a way that nobody else has you. There should be a place of intimacy with the Lord where he has you. He has all of your fears. He has all of your anxiety. He has all of your questions. He has your doubt. He has your mountaintop, and he has you in the valley. And when he has you and all of that, then he knows you. But so many times we walk into spaces like this, and if we're not careful, we'll deceive ourselves into thinking that we know him without realizing that we're actually far from him. We need him. And so I'm going to have Nathan come up here. And I know that this is a heavy message. I understand that. I understand that this isn't the message that we always come on Sunday morning to hear. It's not the message that makes us feel good. But I believe that the Lord is less interested in your comfort and more interested in your transformation. And that if you'll lean into the uncomfortable, what you'll find is that you'll have a peace that actually does pass all understanding. That you'll go through hard things, and somehow the very thing that was supposed to take you out drew you closer to him. When I was writing and finishing up this message yesterday, I was sitting in the room that my mom took her last breath in, and I was reminded of Psalms 92, where it says, teach us, Lord, to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. How do we be the ones who are wise? By understanding that this life is but a breath. It is here today and gone tomorrow. And the way that we live out our life matters. That the Lord is returning for a bride that is holy, that is set apart. That when we walk into rooms, that there is something different about us. That when we walk into spaces, people say, I wonder what that is about them. I can't quite say what it is, but there's something different. What is that thing? It's the Holy Spirit that resides on the inside of you. That we walk with him in a way that we are truly salt and light in this earth. And so I have this candle here, and I want to have an illustration for you guys, and then I want to pray over you guys, and I want to ask you a question. But see, this candle can only be lit if I light it. It's not going to stay lit if I blow it out. And eventually, even if I light it and I leave it, what'll happen? It'll run out. This might burn for one day. It might burn for 6 hours. We don't know, but eventually, if it's not connected to a source, it'll go out. And many of us in this room are just like this candle. We're going through life and we're burning and we're doing. We're going to our jobs. We're watching our grandkids. We're tending to our children. We're doing our thing. We're going to the grocery store. We're pouring out and we're pouring out. And if we're not connected to the Lord in that, then just like this candle goes out, eventually what we're carrying on the inside begins to go dull. And we start to find ourselves depressed. We start to find ourselves overwhelmed. We start looking in the mirror and we say, Lord, I don't know how to do this anymore. I don't think I can go another day. Lord, I don't feel enough. You know the reason why you don't feel worthy? It's because you're not connected to the one who lets you know that you're worthy. You know, the reason why you don't feel loved is because you're not connected to the one who is love. The reason why life feels too heavy is because you've stopped tending to your oil and you've started to try to sustain it on yourself. And here's the thing, is that a lamp can try all day to sustain on its own, but it'll never make it. And you can try with all your might to live this life in your own strength. And I get it. I get it. I'm the kind of person that will white knuckle my way through it. I will fight my way through it. I'm a fighter. I'm one of seven, and I got all brothers, and I learned how to fight at a young age. Like, I will fight my way through it. I'm headstrong. But that isn't what we bring to the Lord, because our strength will fail us every single time. We need Him. We need Him. And so I want to ask you guys to bow your heads. And I'm going to ask you guys a question. And I'm not going to ask you guys to come forward, but I do want to pray over you today. Because as I was coming in here, I'll be honest, I came in heavy. And I came in needing more of Him. But as I was praying, I felt like the Lord said that there's many of you in this room that are in that same place. And it might look different for you. You might not be walking through grief, but it's hard for you to get out of bed in the mornings. That when you wake up into heaviness. And when you close your eyes, you close your eyes into heaviness. And if you're honest, you don't know if you trust the Lord. You don't know if you trust yourself or how to feel about any of this. And you're going through the motions. And today, I want to invite the Lord into that situation. And so I want to ask you guys to raise your hands on the count of three if that's you. And I only want to do that because I want to know who I'm praying over, okay? So one, two, three. Thank you, guys. Jesus, I thank you. I thank you that you are Emmanuel, God with us. That you promise that you will never leave us nor forsake us. And that even when we can't see it, and even when we don't feel it, that that is a promise that you give us. And so we turn to you this morning, and I pray over each and every person that is in this room that raised their hands, and those that didn't but felt like they should. I ask, Father, that you would encounter them right now in Jesus' name. I ask that you would strengthen them, Father, that they would feel the grace to get closer to you. That in this time, God, when it feels like too much, God, we ask that that heaviness would be lifted right now in Jesus' name. We come against all depression, all anxiety, all fear, and we say that it must go right now in Jesus' name. Who the Son sets free is free indeed. And so we declare freedom over this room right now in Jesus' name. Father, I ask that they would see you rightly. That they would know that they are fearfully and wonderfully made. That they would know that they are loved by you. That they are chosen by you. And that if you choose them, then who can possibly be against them? Because you are for them. I ask that they would feel that today. And that the peace that passes all understanding would wash over them. That you would guard their hearts and their minds. And I ask, Father, that if they've been numbing themselves with things that are idols and that are distractions, that those things would fall off right now in Jesus' name, and that you would give them a hunger for more of you. That just as David, that this one thing that they would seek, to dwell in your house, to walk with you, that that would be their heart's delight, that that would be what they would hunger after. Not because they're afraid of all the things, but because they love you and they want a life that is filled with you. And I thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hey, I probably could just sit in my seat. I don't know if people are still on Facebook Live. Are we still on? Yeah. So just as we close today, I just want to remind people, just first off, thank you for Nathan and Hannah. Thank you for sharing, and thank you for your vulnerability, because I think it's the best way that God really speaks through us is when we're vulnerable. Next week, we'll have Jennifer from NAMI here, and so just a reminder, if there's someone, and I know there is someone that is not here today, and you know that they're not here today, please reach out to them. Just like, please invite them. Please let this be an intentional time of just making sure that we come together. And so reach out to them, please, if you could. And so I just want to remind everyone, God is so good. All the showtime.